God delights to use the finite. God delights in using the impossible to bring forth glory unto Himself. Some of you might be thinking, God could never use me. Oh, I've received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But with my life, when I look at the circumstances, there's not really much in my life that God could use. Some of you might be thinking, I can't play an instrument, I can't speak, I don't know a whole lot about the Bible. But you know, God has a way of teaching us some very critical, important lessons. For our scripture reading, we had turned to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're beginning a new series, Little Things That God Uses. And we've arrived at the first of our series of seven messages on little things that God uses. Turn to 1 Kings 17. We see that we are now introduced to a man called Elijah. The name Elijah means Jehovah is my God. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel in days of spiritual darkness, in days of spiritual depression. Very much like the days that we are facing today. And I believe with all my heart that in the midst of the spiritual darkness that we have around us, God is still raising up men and women. Some like we've even had the blessing of hearing this morning. God is raising up men and women who have a heart to serve Him. Is that your heart's desire today? God is not so concerned as to your ability as much as your availability to be able to trust God and to turn your life over to Him. We have two characters that we're going to be introduced in this passage to that needed each other. God brought two people together because they each needed to learn spiritual lessons from one another. And that's oftentimes the way it works. Iron indeed does sharpen iron. God led Elijah in unusual paths, as oftentimes He will lead you in unpredictable paths. Paths in your life that you never dreamt that God intended for you to go through. But God is sovereign, and His ways are not our ways. And He desires to manifest His glory. And in these unusual paths that God would bring these two individuals through, He would enlarge them. And Elijah's strength would be increased, as well as the faith of others. Two paths, two individuals that God used to teach one another some spiritual lessons. First of all, I want you to notice that God's sovereignty rings clear throughout this entire chapter 17. God is sovereign. He can do whatever, forever, with whomever He wishes. And I want you to notice the first thing about God's sovereignty in this passage, we have God's sovereign proclamation. And He speaks through His mouthpiece, Elijah. And He says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Here He comes unto a wicked king, and He makes a pronouncement of God's judgment. For the law of Moses predicted drought as one of those judgments that would come upon God's chosen people if they would abandon their God-given faith. And He says before Ahab, the wicked king of Israel, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. King Ahab had trust in his army and in his might and in his defense, but he was defenseless against the hand of judgment that was going to come upon his people. All as a result of Israel's apostasy and judgment. And here was Elijah, God's spokesman. I imagine his knees were rattling. Has God ever told you to do something that you thought was beyond you? Little old me to go before a wicked magistrate and pronounce judgment? He could have my head. But he went anyway. He was willing to trust God. God's sovereign pronouncement was given to this wicked king. But then I want you to notice, we have God's sovereign purpose in verses 2 through 4. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." You know, oftentimes God's sovereign purposes will tell us to do things that don't make sense to us. Here God tells Elijah to publicly appear to King Ahab and make a pronouncement. I'm sure Elijah had the idea, boy, I'm really going public now. And then all of a sudden, Elijah gets blindsided by another command of the Lord. Now that you went public, I want you to hide yourself. Now that doesn't make a lot of sense to you or to me. I mean, after a while, you'd think, well, Elijah is going public. Boy, he really went public. He went to the top dog of the nation and said, God is going to judge. And now he says, go hide thyself. I have some other things that I need to teach you. You know, God works that way, contrary to human logic. You remember when Saul of Tarsus came to receive Christ as his personal Savior? The Lord sent him 3 years, Galatians 1, in Arabia to be taught lessons that God Himself would use to prepare him. You know, we ought not to despise the ways of the Lord. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But listen to me, so are the stops. God oftentimes seems to put the brakes in our lives. And we find ourselves not going anywhere. And we see perhaps even time in our lives passing us. And God wants to do something and teach us something, even in that parenthetic period of our lives. Never is time wasted when we use it to draw ourselves closer to the Lord. As a matter of fact, he says, hide yourself. I want you to go to the brook Cherith. Cherith is the Hebrew word which means cutting. There were things in Elijah's life, undoubtedly, that needed to be cut away, pruned away. Isn't that true in our lives? Sometimes we think that things aren't happening in our lives. And we wonder why. Perhaps in that time, it might be a parenthetic period in which God brings sickness into your life. Or perhaps a time which God brings unemployment into your life. Or perhaps it seems that you move somewhere and things don't materialize the way you thought, and there is that period of time that you feel like you're in limbo. God is using that as your Cherith experience, your cutting experience. I think of John 15 and verse 2 that reminds us that we oftentimes can be pruned. The Word of God says, every branch in me that bears fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Don't despise that period of time in Cherith. Allow God to prune away those areas of your life, peeling away those unnecessary hindrances, the baggage in your life that may be there. Areas of known sin. God has put you perhaps somewhere where you're all of a sudden stationary. You've been running here and you've been running there and ordering your life your way. And all of a sudden God steps in and says, no, I'm going to put you in a place that seems to be the shelf for you. But I want to teach you some lessons. It's going to be a cherith, a cutting experience. But you know, God knows where to put the scalpel. God is the master surgeon. We go to Him in His wisdom. And even in that parenthetic period, when God seems to put us in a place that we cannot understand, after all, having been in front of Ahab, from Ahab to a lonely brook being fed by birds. And by the way, ravens, according to the Mosaic law, were unclean animals. It's interesting. Sometimes we have a tendency to put God in a box. God, you have to do things this way, according to my understanding, according to my way. And God says, no, I'm going to teach you a few lessons. You just wait upon me. And here we see the word in verse 4. There. Circle that word in verse 4. Circle the word there, because there is the place of God's appointment. He was supposed to be there. I ask you a question. Are you there? Are you where God wants you to be? Or are you running like Jonah away from the will of God? He provided a brook, a place of sustenance. God will always meet your needs as you walk in His will. Don't quote Philippians 4:19 if you're flying in the face of God. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. He can do that. But you know what? Philippians 4:19 was written by the Apostle Paul to the Philippian church. Why? Because they had sacrificially given of themselves and sent a gift under the promptings of the Spirit of God to the Apostle Paul. They were in the will of God and were serving God, and on that basis, God said, my God shall supply all your need. The place of appointment. Are you there where God promises to bless? God's proclamation, verse 1. We've seen God's purpose bringing Him to Cherith. Now let's take a look at God's providence in verses 5 through 7. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful to see obedience on the part of God's people? You know, as a dad, nothing brings greater joy than to see my children walk in the truth. And the Apostle John said that of his converts and those that he led to the Lord. And many of you have led people to the Lord. And what a joy it is when you see them go on in the faith. Some of you have been around long enough as veterans. You've led Sunday school kids to Christ. And then you see them go through, they go on to serve the Lord. You see them get married and make the right choices and go on in service for the Lord. And it brings you such joy to see that. Well, here's a man of God who followed the will of God. He didn't understand why God allowed certain things in his life, why he had to hide himself. But you know, the time came when the hiding was over. Moses had that cherith experience for 40 years in the backwoods. God had lessons. Nothing is invested in your life that isn't without a divine reason. God loves you so much, He will never waste one moment of your time. I promise you that on the basis of His word. He always has our good in mind. He's a gracious God. He's a good God. He's a giving God. And even the so-called accidents that you think may be taking place in your life are no accidents at all. Who would have thought that Elijah would be brought to a brook from a king's palace? But it was the place of God's appointment. Paul said, I've learned to abound and I've learned to suffer want. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will take care of my every need. He went, verse 5, and did according to the word of the Lord. By the way, you know by now that this is going to have to go into the evening service. We're going to do a little switching here. I'm not even going to get to touch the hem of the garment on this message. What we'll probably do is just preach a little bit tonight on it. You come tonight and be with us as we go on. But he goes, and he went, dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And notice, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and drank of the brook. Folks, let me tell you something. From personal testimony I share with you, God has brought strange and wondrous paths into my life as I've known Him over the years. But never have we ever lacked God's provision. Never has the Lord ever left us destitute. God has always cared for us as His children. And I want to encourage some of you kids and some of you super kids in the back row and some of you others that are seated sprinkled around here, you give your life for Jesus Christ and surrender to His will, and you give your life over to the Lord, and you'll never regret that decision. But I can point you to countless people that have said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to run from the hands of the spiritual surgeon of my life. He ain't going to cut on me. I'm going to carve my own path. I'm going to be a self-made man, self-made woman. The day will come when in your heart of hearts you'll regret that. And you'll look back upon that path of disobedience that you've chosen. And you'll regret it. And you'll see that that wrong decision even impacted other people's lives that were brought into your life. Oh, may we see God's hand and touch. Folks, are you in the place? Are you there? Verse 4. Are you there? You know, for you this morning, the there is Central Florida Bible Church hearing this message. Some of you are here, you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Adversity has come into your life. Drought abounds. And in your soul, you are spiritually thirsty. God can provide a brook for you where you can drink deeply. He can provide, as the sovereign God, even the birds to bring food to your doorstep. Oh, how many times I've experienced in time of need God providentially bringing means of sustenance that we never dreamt. And God brought it providentially. And it authenticated to us, we're in the will of God. And God cares for His own. Some of you may be running from God. You received the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior years back. But you know in your heart that rather than living in verse 5, doing according to the work of the Lord, you're going and you're obeying Him. What you've been doing is that you've been running from Him. If you knew, and eternity will only reveal it, the wonderful things that God can do in your life and with your life, you would run to Him. Do now what you'll be glad you did when you stand before God in eternity. Don't allow the locusts to steal the years and the precious opportunities for your life. Whatever stage of life you may be in, give yourself over to the Lord. We're going to see tonight how God continues to work in the life of Elijah. And He continues to even bring other individuals into his life for spiritual reasons and spiritual lessons. Are you there? The place where God would have you to be. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you may have received Him early in your life, but you've strayed away from God. You've taken steps that in your heart have been the wrong direction. But God has brought you to the place of His appointment there in your life. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to respond to God and receive His hand of provision and blessing? How many here would say, Pastor John, God is speaking to my heart. There have been adversities in my life, things I haven't understood. God has taken me places that I don't understand, under circumstances that have just disoriented me, but I am giving my heart and life over to the Lordship of Christ. I have Him as Savior, but He's never been Lord, and I want to surrender to Jesus Christ right now. Let me see your hand. Young people, middle, young adult, God is speaking to my heart. I want to surrender and give Him the reins of my life. I'm wondering how many here would say, I'm not even saved, but I want to settle it. I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Let me see your hand. Is there one that is not saved that needs to be? God wants to give you that assurance of sonship. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts as we continue in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that the Spirit would speak to our hearts in such a way that we would allow our lives to be surrendered to the potter. And we are the clay. Make us. Mold us. Prune, Lord, where You would see fit, that we might show forth Your glory and bear forth fruit. Lord, it's not by accident that we are here together this day to hear this message. Continue to work. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.